teams would ask you, like, you're really from Alaska? You're from Alaska, right? And we'd have to tell them, yeah. I mean, we play basketball in Alaska. It's kind of a big thing up there.
A Glacier Bear returns from playing ball for scouts, and the Tongass Futures Roundtable loses more support. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. Juneau Deputy Mayor Merrill Sanford wants the city to pull its support for the Tongass Futures Roundtable. Sanford believes the roundtable has changed direction since the assembly passed a resolution backing its work in 2007. Most logging advocates left the group earlier this year, and Sanford says he's no longer comfortable giving it the city's blanket support.
If they wish to come before us and ask for approval on some topic, that's fine with me, but I can't sit here as an assembly member any longer and let this move forward in a different direction than what we thought it was going to be.
The Tongass Roundtable is a group of stakeholders that came together 5 years ago in an attempt to find consensus in the often contentious public policy debates surrounding the nation's largest national forest. It includes the U.S. Forest Service, conservation groups, and Native organizations, including regional Native corporations, See Alaska. Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello is the group's facilitator. At a recent Juneau Assembly meeting, Sanford made a motion directing the city attorney to draft a resolution rescinding the Assembly's earlier declaration of support. Botella recused himself from the discussion because he felt his role as facilitator presented a conflict of interest. Sanford's motion passed unanimously, but one Assembly member, Karen Crane, said the city should not ditch its support for the roundtable without a thorough review.
I don't know enough about it to say yay or nay at this point.
The Assembly's 2007 resolution supporting the roundtable was also approved unanimously and signed by Sanford, who was deputy mayor at the time. The largely symbolic declaration talks about the effort to create a steady, reliable, and predictable timber supply to support an integrated manufacturing industry. It also discusses protecting watersheds with important values and maintaining the natural values and ecological integrity of the forest. Earlier this year, the state of Alaska and timber industry representatives quit the roundtable, citing its inability to increase logging in southeast Alaska. Representatives of Petersburg, Wrangell, Craig, and Kaufman Cove also pulled out of the organization. In its place, the Parnell administration formed a state timber jobs task force that includes no representatives from the conservation community. The Chilkat Valley Community Foundation brings to Haines a variety of educational programs that have to do with managing nonprofits or philanthropy. But the next set of free seminars is a first-timer for residents.
A number of the other community foundations around the state had been offering series of programs on estate planning, and they'd been very popular, so we decided it might be a good thing to do in our community as well.
Ann Myron is the advisory board chair for the foundation. She explains that attorney Susan Foley is leading three separate sessions at the library on Tuesday. Foley's a longtime Alaskan and practices law in Anchorage, with an emphasis on estate business and philanthropic planning. She's also chair of the board for the Alaska Community Foundation. Again, Ann Myron with the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation.
They'll focus on educating and informing anybody who's interested in learning more about creating an estate plan or a will. Information will be shared on different strategies people could use to minimize taxes and different ways that they can use to pass on assets to their family or their friends or to charitable organizations. So it's kind of aimed at basic information for everyone.
Everyone indeed. Information on estate planning and wills are helpful to people who have a lot or a little, kids or no kids, or even people who already have wills or not.
I think one thing that we're all aware of is that, you know, no matter how much you have, you need to do some planning, or planning is a good thing in that it can help your family and friends at their time of a loss.
The sessions start with one designed for nonprofit representatives at 10:45 a.m. on Tuesday, August 16th at the Haines Library.
So that's aimed at nonprofit leaders, board members, and people who work with nonprofits on how they can work towards a planned giving program for their organization.
Then two more identical one-hour sessions at 2 p.m. and again at 7 p.m. are open to the general public.
I think it will be interesting for people that already have a will in place if they wonder, you know, did they want to make any changes or does it meet all of the Alaska laws? Has anything changed since they made their will that they need to be aware of? And certainly, you know, anybody who has children, a will is a really good thing to have because it helps smooth waters when something happens. And so it's not just for people who have a lot of money. Wills are for all of us to make sure that it's easier for your family and that also your wishes are carried out as you intend them to be.
The estate planning and will seminars are put on by the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation, which has goals to promote philanthropy to help local nonprofits and to provide educational programs that help nonprofits and individuals. The free sessions are at the Haynes Library on Tuesday, August 16th. To get more information, leave a message at 766-6868. You've already seen Ron Horn's photography, sometimes in the weekly paper and in various locations around Haynes, but I promise you've never seen it like this before. Horn is the next artist in the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center's six-week spotlight, a series of shows that feature a local artist every month and a half from spring to fall each year. A professional juror chose from the last batch of applications to select Ron for the next installment. Karen Meisner works with the program at the Sheldon Museum in Haynes.
Ron's was by far, you know, the most innovative photographer of all of them, which was kind of interesting since he's also probably one of the most skilled and, you know, who's had the most experience possibly of all the photographers. So that was an interesting combination.
And starting at an opening on Friday, 20 of Horn's picks will be hanging upstairs in the Hackening Gallery, all of them larger than life. The pieces are blown up to show intricate detail and measure about 21 by 28 inches or 26 by 38 inches.
I think what really sets this show off is that most everybody in Haynes is familiar with Ron's photography, you know, either from seeing it in the Chilkat Valley News or on cards, you know, for sale throughout the town and other places. And this is a real chance. He's picked out very specific ones, mostly from a trip he took to Katmai National Park, where he's taken the photograph and made very, very large prints from them. And so it really has an impact when you get to see the photos that large, and you can still stand back and look at the photo and see things you never would have noticed in the smaller one.
The opening reception is Friday, August 12th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center, up the hill on Main Street from the Small Boat Harbor. Then it'll remain up through most of September. Glacier Bear Tyler Swinton wasn't wearing a green jersey in his last round of away basketball games. He was in gold, blue, and white. The upcoming Haynes senior just returned from Nevada and California, where he was one of nine Alaska high school juniors and seniors who represented Alaska in a set of tournaments that had teams in from all over the country.
Just about every game, just like after tip-off and everything like that, we were shooting free throws or something. They'd line up on the blocks, and the teams would ask you, like, you're really from Alaska? You're from Alaska, right? And we'd have to tell them, yeah, I mean, we play basketball in Alaska. It's kind of a big thing up there.
It's a program that began 3 years ago to get talented basketball-playing high school upperclassmen on the court in front of scouts. This year, they played in front of former NBA players, some of the country's top coaches, and draft picks.
One day, we were there. We were playing the auxiliary gym that day, and Coach Krzyzewski from Duke and a player that played from last year, Kyrie Irving, was there sitting talking with him, and he was the first draft pick for the NBA draft this year, so that was cool. In our California tournament, there was a coach sign-out sheet on the wall so you could see who was there and everything like that, and there was coaches from Kansas and Baylor and Duke and Texas Tech, schools from like Anchorage and D2 schools like that, BYU, Oregon State, Texas, I mean some big schools down there.
On his team, called Alaska Flight, Swinton played ball alongside teammates from all over the state, some who will likely face him in opposition on the court this high school season.
Yeah, I was the biggest guy on their team, and only 6'6 or whatever, and guarding 6'10 guys.
His Alaska team, one of three from the state that played in the tournaments, had hotshots from all over the state, including Mount Edgecombe's Trevante Williams, Juneau guard Tony Yadow, Ketchikan's Kyle Day, plus players from Craig, West Anchorage, Service, Seward, Bartlett, and Soldotna, just to name a few. Each player tried out for the team in either Anchorage or Fairbanks earlier this year.
The tryout was the end of June. From there, they selected the team. And we went up to Fairbanks the 8th of July and then started practices two times a day for about 10 days before we left Vegas, and our first tournament games were 3 days later after that.
For some of the Alaska students, including Swinton, it was their first glimpse of the bewitching lights of Las Vegas.
Never to Vegas, no. Reno is closest I've been to. In Nevada, yeah.
What did you think of Vegas?
Big city, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of crazy, the strip and everything like that. We had some time to walk the strip and check out the casinos and stuff like that. So, yeah.
They played teams from Oklahoma, Texas, California, New Hampshire, British Columbia, Florida, and some closer to home, like Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. There were four brackets. Swinton's team competed in the silver bracket.
But we went pretty far. I mean, we won all the way to the semifinals and then lost in the semifinals on a buzzer-beating three-pointer. So it was kind of lost by one. It was too bad. But.
In all, there were around 80 teams that competed in the set of tournaments. Swinton says with 16 All-Star games going on at any given time, it was an eye-opening experience to see that much great basketball happening live in one place.
I thought we represented Alaska pretty well for going down there and winning 8 out of our 12 games. And the 4 games we lost, we only lost by a total of 9 points. So they're all really competitive, good games.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. Special thanks to Casey Kelly for his help with this report.